All right, welcome back to the show. Happy you're with us on this Wednesday morning, the 20th day of the month. We got a big hour for you. We're going to get to St. Charles Mayor Dan Borgmeyer, I should say, coming up here in the next segment because he, of course, attended that big meeting last night. There was pretty heavy turnout. People are mad about that data center proposal, even though it's kind of been set aside for now. We're going to get a few more details from him on that, so be sure and stick around. Now, yesterday, an effort was kicked off across the river over here in Illinois to stop what you a lot of people would refer to as a pretty glaring example of gerrymandering across the state of Illinois, where you have, what, 14 Democrat congressional seats and only three Republican seats. And everybody's looked at the map of Illinois. You know, there are a lot of Republicans in Illinois not represented in Congress, for sure. And this is called Fair Maps Illinois. We've got Ray LaHood with us, former transportation secretary, former congressman from the state of Illinois. And Mr. LaHood, welcome in. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for giving us some time this morning. This caught sure. This caught my eye yesterday. What you want to do is a redistricting reform, basically an initiative petition to change the Constitution in Illinois, correct?
That's correct, to create a commission that would draw state legislative districts, not congressional districts. The Constitution of Illinois provides if you get a referendum on the ballot and the people agree that we could go to a commission form of drawing legislative maps for those who represent folks in the Illinois House and the Illinois Senate. Currently, those maps are drawn by the politicians.
Well, they are. Are they? But then ultimately, I would assume if you were successful in that and things balanced out a little more in the state, then you could address the congressional districts as well, correct, when the time comes?
Yeah, we'd need to change the Constitution to do that. The Constitution clearly says that the congressional maps can be done by the legislature. It would take another constitutional amendment. So step one is to do the legislative maps.
Now, an effort like this failed, back in 2016? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And that was a Supreme Court decision in Illinois.
Yeah. I mean, we got it on the ballot, and we got all the petitions. And then the Speaker of the House, who Mike Madigan, who's no longer there, obviously been convicted and on his way to prison, is gone. And the justices that made the decision, four of them are gone. So we have almost a completely new Illinois Supreme Court. We don't have Madigan controlling the Supreme Court, which he did before by giving campaign contributions to help these people get elected. So things are different in that regard. And we think if we take the language that the court used to strike down our ability to do this and include that as a part of our constitutional amendment, we have an opportunity to meet their requirement and get this on the ballot. We think if we get it on the ballot, clearly people will want to have their say in picking legislative districts.
Well, and in a representative government, it's important that we have the right number of representatives representing the total population. I mean, 102 counties, I think Donald Trump won 97 of those counties, something like that, in the 2024 election. And he also performed at levels that Republicans haven't seen in a long time. He had 46% of the vote. That was up 6 points in Illinois. So think about that. 46% of Illinoisans who voted in the election voted Republican, yet we have only three representatives of the 17 in the state of Illinois. You know, that, Mr. LaHood, that doesn't equate. How in the world can we get balance here?
Yeah, the way we get it is allow the people to draw the maps. When politicians draw the maps, they pick their voters. And we want the voters to be able to pick the politicians. And the way to do that is to create a commission that would, in a fair and balanced way, would make the districts compact and contiguous. Iowa has a commission. Never heard one person complain. If you look at the Iowa districts, they are compact and contiguous. They don't break up neighborhoods. They don't split neighbors up. They don't split counties up. They don't split cities up. And, for example, I live in Peoria. My state rep, who grew up in Peoria, his father had a small business in Peoria, was drawn out of his district, placed in an area north of Peoria. His friends and neighbors go to vote, and they say, Ryan, how come we can't vote for you? Because the politicians drew him out of his district.
Yeah, that's crazy. So you are working with Bill Daley, obviously a Democrat, former chief of staff, I think, for President Obama, former Commerce Secretary, and you're calling this a bipartisan effort. How much pushback are you getting, though, from the supermajority of Democrats in Illinois who clearly like things the status quo?
Well, frankly, we're going around them. We're going to raise the money to get the petitions signed. We need $365,000. We'll probably do maybe double that, or at least $500,000, because we know they'll be challenged. We're going around the political leadership of Illinois that has been responsible for creating these maps and creating a one-party system in Illinois. And as you clearly pointed out, 102 counties, many of which are Republican, do not have the representation. And you end up with one-party rule, which has been a disaster for Illinois and created a lot of corrupt politicians and very bad legislation.
Well, where can people, is there a good website people can go to if they live in Southern Illinois to find out more about this?
Yes, the website is Fair Maps. If you go to Fair Maps, you'll see the list of people that are involved, the way to contribute, and that'll be a good start for people to get acquainted with what we're doing.
Well, Mr. LaHood, thank you for giving us a few minutes, and thanks for the effort.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it very much.
Great to have you on. Former Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood there. And here's the website. He missed part of it. It's fairmapsillinois.org. fairmapsillinois.org. And if you go there, you can find out how to support what they're trying to do. I mean, this is a great idea, but you're going to have to start with the State House in Illinois. If you can balance that out even a little bit, then you have a better chance of fighting to balance out the congressional districts. But you're going to have to get those state Senate and House seats rebalanced first.
But the congressional seats is mind-blowing. The fact that we have only 18% of the congressional seats, but they won 46% of the total vote.
And they're complaining about Republicans gerrymandering.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. I got a bite from Jasmine Crockett. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it or not, but she claims the Republicans cheat everywhere they can, and all the Democrats are trying to do in California is rebalance things and save democracy. Honestly, the words that came out of the woman's mouth, you can't make this stuff up. It's unbelievable.
It is.
All right, coming up, there was a big meeting in St. Charles last night. A lot of talk about this data center that's kind of been sidelined for now, but we're going to get the mayor on to talk about it. And you'll hear Mayor Dan Borgmeyer's side of what happened and how this went down when we come back.
Protesting a large data center that was pulled off the agenda. A St. Charles City Council meeting actually had to move to a bigger venue tonight because of the public outcry over this proposed project.
All right, there's Channel 4 leading with this story last night about the St. Charles County Council meeting, the hundreds of people who showed up, the fact that this data center had pretty much already been withdrawn by the time the meeting took place, but we wanted to find out all the details, so we invited Mayor Dan Borgmeyer to join us this morning from St. Charles. And Mayor, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Mark. I'm fine.
Good, good. So I know this was withdrawn, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you had withdrawn your support for the project as well prior to last night, correct?
That is correct, yeah. I've been reviewing the process for since last spring when it was first introduced, and there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad about the data center, but the lack of transparency and the lack of information available to the public was just, it overwhelmed it, and I think at the end the developers realized the error of their ways, and that's why they withdrew it.
So why the high level of secrecy here? I think a lot of people were suspicious, if for no other reason than the fact that nobody seemed to be able to answer any questions.
Well, there was an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement, signed way back in the spring when this thing first happened. Not necessarily an uncommon practice with big dynamic things that come into the county and city. We get those things all the time. It was signed by a staffer. We were told by legal that they didn't know whether it applied to everyone, me, the council, or anybody else. So that was part of it. But at any time in the process, the developer could have said, you know what, we're going to release a lot of information. We had numerous meetings with them. They would say they would, and then they would renege on that, and on that. And we just were not able to provide the people with enough information to let them make a qualified judgment.
Sure. Hey, good morning, Mayor. Dan Buck here. I know you and I have talked many times about various projects and very familiar with an NDA. Normally, a city, when I'm working with a city, they always want the details of who their neighbor's going to be, who's going to own the company. At any point, did you ever get information? If you're under the NDA, you can't share that. But did you ever get information of who the actual company is? And we know who the developer was, but you want to know who the tenant's going to be, right?
It was alluded to. It's just as if somebody builds a big warehouse in St. Charles. We don't know who they're going to lease it to. There's some suspicions. We were told numerous times that it was one of the top 100 companies in the United States. Everybody has their suspicions. People last night said Amazon and a bunch of other stuff, but that's not been validated by the developer.
Right. But you didn't know, correct? So you really had no idea. It could have been a Chinese company for all you knew.
No, it was not a Chinese company. It was alluded to, okay, but not to the point that it was definitive.
Interesting. So what happens now? I mean, as Dan pointed out to me the other day, who's been in the development world, you can withdraw a proposal. That doesn't mean it's gone away. Is this project dead at that site?
Well, it was DOA going into last night, and if they would have gone ahead and let the council vote and they voted it down, there's a one-year moratorium. So, I mean, they got a lot of strong legal minds and a lot of money behind them, and their decision to pull it enables them to bring it back at some point. Now, I will say this unequivocally, and I said it last night, it is so damaged that even if they come back with all the benefits, and there are some extraordinary benefits, but even if they come back with all that, it's going to be a big hill to climb.
Did they ever give you an energy consumption estimate in any of the documents that you saw? Because that also was a big concern of whether even the grid could hold what that massive facility was going to require.
Yeah. Well, what was said was we asked about water, we asked about electric, and we were told if we even give you our water consumption or our electric consumption, our competitors can work back from that and undercut our project. So that was that element of it. It was a difficult road to go down all this time.
Yeah, I'll bet. We're talking to Mayor Dan Borgmeyer from the city of St. Charles about this data center project that's been withdrawn. As you just said, it doesn't mean that they couldn't try to take another run at it at some point. There were stories out there floating around before this happened that whoever owned this property was some relative of yours. I just want to give you a chance to clear that up.
That was brought up by one of my former mayoral opponents in the election, and I don't know the people. First of all, the city has no relationship with that purchase. That was done between CRG Clayco,
right,
and whoever owns the property.
Yeah.
And I, after they told me that, I looked into it. I've known the Hallra family for years. The Borgmeyers, the Heskamps, the Hallras, the Elmans. We all go generations back, and we're probably all shirt-tail at some point. I had my legal department look into it, and they said I'm probably somewhere between 3 and 5 degrees by marriage. I don't know these folks. Their father or grandfather I met when I was probably 5 years old with my grandpa. But no, there's no family connection. Just like there's two separate Borgmeyer families, there's two separate Heskamp families in St. Charles also. And, so it was a political stunt, basically.
Yeah, and Mayor, that is such a dangerous, slippery slope. I mean, if it's a cousin doing a private transaction with a private developer, who cares? I mean, people need to understand mayors and council members have relatives in a community that do business. It was insane. The minute I saw it, I thought, what a political witch hunt that is. And I'm glad you were able to clear that up today.
It kind of was a witch hunt. And the easiest thing to sell, and you know, I was in the PR business for 50 years. The easiest thing to sell is fear.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And there was a lot of that going on.
Well, I know you had still had a big turnout last night, so I think I don't think this is going to disappear from people's minds anytime.
No, the unions were well represented last night. They were probably a third of the audience. And there was a lot of people with concerns. I probably answered somewhere between 100 and 150 emails and phone calls in the last 4 or 5 days. So I was very transparent with people. I told them what was going on. But again, as I said in one of my comments, I can't just go on the web and look at a couple statistics and rent. I interviewed people. One of our mayors in St. Charles County actually works for a data center. I visited with him. I visited with data center people. I did my due diligence on it, and I expressed to everybody after the hearing on Thursday night or the town hall on Thursday night that the people had spoken and that I was going to withdraw my any support that I had for the project.
Mayor Borgmeyer, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. We'll have you back. Mayor Dan Borgmeyer there, City of St. Charles.
My mayor.
Your mayor. That's right.
I live in St. Charles.
Coming up, we're going to talk more about the cost of socialism with Brian Brenberg. Stay tuned.
If there was any system that could guarantee each person housing, whether you call it the abolition of private property or you call it, you know, just a statewide housing guarantee, it is preferable to what is going on right now.
Yeah. That dude might be the next mayor of New York City. That Zohran Mamdani.
What? I got to hear that again. What did he say?
Hold on.
If there was any system that could guarantee each person housing, whether you call it the abolition of private property or you call it, you know, just a statewide housing guarantee, it is preferable to what is going on right now.
Yeah, he's a socialist, Dan.
Oh, my Lord. The abolition of private property.
Yeah. Well, let me get to our guest, Brian Brenberg, kind enough to join us this morning. Of course, co-host with Taylor Riggs there, the Big Money Show on Fox. And he's also got a special tonight called Fox In Depth, The Cost of Socialism. Brian, welcome in.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate that. Clearly, you've been looking a little more in depth at what the effect is of Zohran Mamdani on these young voters, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we've been trying to understand why they're so drawn to this guy. I live in New York City. This is, you know, this is academic for you guys out there, but for me, it's like I got to live with this. So, why are these young people attracted to him? And it's pretty interesting. So, I went down to NYU here in the city, and I talked to students, and I said, if you supported him, why did you support him? And by the way, everybody I talked to, I was just walking around Washington Square Park. They were all Mamdani supporters, okay? Here's what was interesting. I pressed them on the issues. So I said, okay, let's talk about, you know, rent freezes and government-controlled housing. Let's talk about government-controlled grocery stores. Let's debate all these things. And what they said, and to their credit, I give them credit for being honest. They said, you know, I really don't understand the policies that well. I have to say I don't get it. But what they were fed up with was the guys who have been running the place. And they're just kind of tired of the status quo. And Mamdani, it's less about him being a socialist, I think, in some ways. And it's more about him being that smiling face, that shiny object, that made-for-Instagram politician who says really nice things. And as long as you don't think critically, it's all good.
Yeah, it's frightening. I mean, it's like turning your credit card over to your 14-year-old child, and they're going to go on a spending spree unless you've taught them better, and they don't care because it's not going to directly affect. They get something free out of it, and somebody else has to pay for it. I mean, does this relate to any of these kids relate to that at all?
You know, here's what they say, actually. And one kid was super honest. He said, to be honest with you, I haven't gotten a very good education, and it's hard for me to analyze this stuff. And I thought,
nice. That's
actually true, because what a decent society does, teach young people how to think through these issues before they have to experience them. Because the easy way to learn about socialism is to read about the many experiments we've had around the world throughout time that proves it doesn't work. But if you've got a crummy education, if you've got no decent training in history, if nobody's ever given you a basic economics course, then you can't learn it the easy way. The only way to experience it is the hard way. So what these kids are doing is they're learning the only way they know how, which is the hard way. And what's going to happen is in the short term, some of them are going to get benefits. Some of them who have an apartment are going to see their rent freeze or maybe go down. Okay. But over the long term, what's going to happen is exactly what you and I know is going to happen. And that is people who create the things we need are going to flee the city, and the city's going to be trying to divvy up a shrinking pie of tax revenue and a shrinking pie of business activity. And in the end, you know, I don't know, is everybody going to get housing? Maybe. Is it going to be housing worth the name? Probably not, because developers and landlords aren't going to build and they're not going to maintain things. So it's, I think what's happening is because our education system is so bad, we in some parts of this country are doomed to learn again and again the hard way.
You know, and Brian, I saw your promo for this on Fox Business. Thank you for diving into this and putting a bright light on it and just trying to expose and educate, as you pointed out, this next generation of voters who are enamored by him. He says all the right things. But did they understand in your time in speaking to these college kids, do they understand the taxation world? Do they understand government doesn't generate income? It spends other people's money? I mean, do they understand that this ultimately comes out of their pockets or the pockets of other hardworking people?
I mean, the short answer is no, they don't. They just don't. They can't connect those dots. I mean, really, I was a college professor for almost 15 years. I taught economics classes. So I know kind of when I talk to these students, I feel like I'm talking to people I used to teach. And they don't get that. They don't, you know, the education they've gotten has been so focused on ideas of oppression and power struggles and grievances that it doesn't spend any time on basic important things like how do you get entrepreneurs and creative people to want to build the things that make our lives good, like housing, like mm-hmm. medicine, you know, like groceries, okay? Because their professors don't understand that stuff, they don't understand that stuff. And the truth is, I'm talking about colleges here, it's happening in high schools too. I mean, yeah. The public education system in America is doing the same thing that these colleges are doing because it's run by the same people.
And their parents aren't teaching them any better either, so that's the sad part. You can watch this tonight on the Fox Business channel at 7 p.m. Central Time. It is called Fox Business In Depth, The Cost of Socialism. Brian, thank you for producing that. It's so valuable. I hope parents will make their kids sit down and watch it and maybe have a learning moment out of it.
Hey, from your lips to God's ears, man, I hope that happens too. Thank you.
You bet.
So off the subject of the special for just a minute, based on these economic numbers we're seeing on inflation, on jobs and all of that, what's your opinion on how the economy is reacting to these tariffs?
Yeah, so I would say there's how it did react and then how it's reacting going forward. So in the early days, you know, kind of the April 2nd, post-April 2nd days, tons of uncertainty, right? If you're a business, you didn't quite know if you're bringing in product from another country, what you're going to have to pay, what it's going to cost you, how you're going to adapt. And I think that characterized the past couple of months. What we're finding now is that tariff story is starting to quiet down a little bit because, you know, we're getting some deals in place. We're kind of getting this 10 to 15% tariff range filling in. We've got a few big ones standing out there. There's no question about it. Canada's out there. Mexico's out there. China's out there. But I think the uncertainty story there is quieting a little bit. So, shame on the folks who panicked. And there was a lot of folks in the financial media who panicked and wanted to sow panic. I don't think that was the right response. But where we really are now is you do have an economy that I think is slowing a little bit. If you look at the labor market numbers, jobs numbers, you've seen a little bit of a slowdown, not a lot of firing, but not a ton of hiring either.
Right.
And so I think there's a lot of businesses out there that really are like, hey, give me my cost of capital is so high. You know, my ability to borrow money to kind of fund my business is too high. Interest rates are high. And so right now, I think we're in that moment where are we going to start to see a little bit of the interest rate relief that can help businesses through this next period? And I think if we get some of that, especially starting in September at the September Federal Reserve meeting, that could provide a little bit of needed lift to the economy. But right now, it's kind of in this period where it's okay, but the labor market's slowing a little bit, and businesses are saying, look, I'm running out of gas if interest rates continue to stay this high for this long.
Yeah, Brian, that is so nailing the head. We've almost got the cart ahead of the horse here with all of the manufacturing jobs and the commitments of foreign investment and all this stuff, but you're not going to get the capital investment in the infrastructure necessary to create the jobs if you're at 6.5-7% interest. You can't make the numbers work.
Yeah, well, it's hard. It's hard for these businesses to make it work. And look, they've got some relief coming. Look, the Big Beautiful Bill, now Big Beautiful Law, you've got some really good tax incentives for businesses to build new factories and invest. But again, interest rates matter. And I'm not saying they got to come down 3 points necessarily, but I do think businesses and frankly, people in the housing market need to see a little bit of relief there. So I think it's warranted. I think at least a quarter point cut at the next meeting is warranted. But we'll see what Jay Powell does because he hasn't wanted to play ball on that yet.
It's true. Brian Brenberg, listen, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
You bet.
We'll be watching tonight. The Cost of Socialism on the Fox Business Network at 7 p.m. Central Time. And, of course, he co-hosts the Big Money Show with Taylor Riggs every weekday starting at around noon on Fox Business.
It's going to be a great show. And he also dives into the history and failures of socialism.
Everywhere it's been tried. You're doomed to repeat your history if you don't know it for sure. All right, coming up, you know, remember the controversy with the MAGA hat at the soccer game? You're not going to believe what MLS has agreed to allow people to wear when can't wear MAGA hats.
And fly. You are not going to believe it. I'm just going to tell you right now. You're going to want to hear this story.
So I'm Michael Weitzel. I'm being asked to leave by the police because of Donald Trump.
Hey, I'm a Donald Trump.
I'm a man.
I am. So all these cops, you got to deal with them MAGA. But they don't want any.
So those flags over there,
those
aren't great. So my question to you guys is, are these rules equally enforced on everybody?
Here's my question to you.
And the only way I can do that is if I enforce it with you.
Yep. How are you leaving? Here's my question to you, said the police officer. Are you leaving in cuffs or are you going to walk out on your own because your MAGA hat hurt the feelings of some snowflake a couple of rows behind you
at the
soccer game?
Yeah, at a St. Louis City game.
So then this morning we find out, we're told they had to kick them out because MLS has a rule against political slogans at their games. Unless the MLS approves of the political slogan. The MLS now says Columbus Crew fans can fly Palestinian flags.
Unbelievable.
The point is, if you have a ban on things because it's controversial,
be universal about
that.
It
wouldn't be controversial.
Yeah.
It's not universal. They're picking winners and losers.
Yeah. It offends every Jewish person or should in the crowd. But their feelings don't matter, right?
Nope.
And apparently it's because the crew of Columbus just brought on a Palestinian player, and they want to show support for him. Is that what their argument is?
Yeah, I guess so.
Is that there's a Palestinian player. But
some guy named Abu Ali has been hired, a $7.5 million transfer has been added at the end of last month, a Palestinian striker, and therefore MLS has lifted a 2-year ban on the Palestinian flag, and they're letting the fans fly that. But that's not offensive. It doesn't matter how people feel about that. But if you wear a Make America Great Again hat in an MLS soccer team, that you can't have that.
Unbelievable.
But you know, we heard Mike Witzel when I had him on here. We were the first local radio station to have him on. He said he saw no King shirts. He saw Kamala Harris shirts. None of those people were ever asked to
leave. Rainbow flags everywhere.
But he was asked to leave. So that's the double standard you're getting from city soccer and Major League Soccer, just in case you were had any questions about that.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Oh, please. Thank you for that. Hey, Dan, enjoy your time off with your grandson.
I'm going to love it. And a big congrats to Kim and the baby. Hopefully she'll be able to call in tomorrow and share a little more.
Oh, I hope she's feeling up to it. I might encourage her to do that. Dan's he's got a couple days off to go see his brand new grandson, and then he'll be back with us next week. Kim is now on maternity leave with little Hudson Christopher, and we wish her the best. So have a great day. We'll see you back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.